Morning. Today's Av Menachos Pei Dalad. We already started the new parak yesterday. We began the Mishnah, and we did a little bit of the Gemara yesterday. We're going to go back and start from the Mishnah one more time. So we are looking now at the beginning of the ninth parak of Menachos. We are starting on Pei Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Kol Karbanos Hatzibur VaYachid. When it comes to carbon, both communal and individual, by min haaretz mechutz haaretz. So it comes from in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, meaning the grains come from in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, min hachadosh min hayashan. And it comes from the more recent crops, and it comes from the old crops. So first of all, when the Mishnah word said the word karbanos, so we're going to understand it to mean that it's talking about menachos. Okay, Rashi says it, and it's contextually, obviously, we're talking about the grains. The reason why we know we're talking about the grains is because we're making distinctions between in and out of Eretz Yisrael. It'd be a little bit difficult to imagine that when it comes to an animal, you need the animal to be born in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to outside of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, the context certainly speaks to the idea that we're talking about grains. So when you are getting grains from, or I should say better, for a mincha, whether it's communal, whether it's individual, so the Mishnah tells us that it can come from in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, so it could be imported, and it could be also old grain as well. Storage grain from 2 years ago, 5 years ago, perhaps even 10 years ago. Right, remember the Torah tells us that for the famine in Mitzrayim, so they were storing grains upward of 7 years. Fine, there is no restriction in terms of where the grain is coming from and when the grain was harvested, how long ago it was harvested, with two notable exceptions: chutz min ha'omer v'shei alechem. So with the exception of the omer and the shei alechem, the karbanos that we've been talking about extensively throughout this masechta. The omer is the barley offering that's offered on the second day of Pesach. The shei alechem is the wheat offering offered on Shavuos. She'enabam ela menachadosh min haaretz. So there, the two restrictions. One, it has to be chadosh. It has to be current grain. In other words, it has to be this year's crop. And two, it has to come from Eretz Yisrael. So the when and the where are restricted for these two. V'kulan ein bain ela min hamuvchar. Now, in general, when getting grain, where do you get it from? You get it from the choicest. So ve'ezem mubchar shalahem, machnis v'zatcha. The Mishnah identifies two locations in Eretz Yisrael where it is the best crop and it is the best grains. Alpha l'solos. It's the primary place to get flour from. Shnil lahem ofarayim bebika. A secondary place, grade B, if you will, is a place called ofarayim, which is out in the valley. Kol ha'aretz ha'yucheres ela mikana yumivin. Now you can go anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but these are the places which are producing the best flour for the offerings. We have learned together in the Mishnah that when it comes to menachos in general, so we are not restricted by place or by time. It could be coming from in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it could be from storage grain that was stored some time ago. However, when it comes to the Omer and the Shei Alechem, both restrictions, according to our Mishnah, are in force. You can't have grain coming from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it has to be current grain. Now, the current grain, by the way, if we could think about this outside the Gemara for just a moment, it makes perfect sense. Because the idea of both the Omer and the Shtei Alechem is that they're going to be the first. This is a theme that we're going to be keep repeating again and again over the course of today's daf. We know that when it comes to the Omer is the first. In fact, not only is it the first, it's a matir. It permits all other new grains to be consumed. So to a degree, it makes sense. I can hear the idea that it should be coming from this year's grain. Shtei Alechem also is a first, because first of all, it's the first wheat that's offered. We'll see that later this morning. We know that. We've seen it already. And also, it is also a permitter. It's a matir. What will it permit? Up until the Shavuos, so no grains, or as we'll see later on, fruit for that matter, can be brought into the Beis HaMikdash and offered in the Beis HaMikdash. Until the Shtei Alechem is brought. So it too is a matir, so it certainly makes sense, this idea that it should be from the Chadosh and it should not be from an older harvest. Okay, Masisin Deloki Aitana. Now the Gemara points out that our Mishnah is not going to be in agreement with the following Brisa, Detanya. The Gemara quotes a Brisa. Omer haba min hayashan kasher. Shtei Alechem habos min hayashan ksheros. So the Omer coming from old grain, fine, acceptable. Shtei Alechem coming from old grain, also acceptable. Ela shechisa mitzvah. Now you did miss an opportunity of doing it in the best way. The best way is to use current year's grain and not grain from a previous year. But bid the evidence kasher. Omer dechsiv takrivas mincha bikurecha. As far as the omer is concerned, the Torah says that you're going to be bringing your first mincha And as we've seen already a number of times, that's from the second parak of Vayikra. We already know that the Torah there does not identify clearly that's talking about the Karban Omer. But we, as we've seen a number of times throughout our Masechta, that parsha is a reference to the Omer. And Vafilu Min Ha'Aliyah. The focus over here is Takriv. You're offering the Mincha, meaning get it done. Offer the Mincha. What if we don't have any new grain? What if we only have grain of storage? That's fine. Takriv. Afilu Min Ha'Aliyah. Even if you have to go to the up in the attic and get from the grain that was stored up in the attic, that's fine. She'alechem dichtiv min moshrosechem tavil. V'lo min chutz aretz. Mish moshrosechem ve'afilu min ha'aliyah. As far as the she'alechem is concerned, we also have a pasuk and a drasha. The Torah says mi moshrosechem, which means not from chutz aretz. Mi moshrosechem also means afilu min ha'aliyah. Even if we have to get grain from the attic, wheat kernels that were stored up in the attic, that would be okay, that would be acceptable. Now, the Gemara over here is bothered by just a very small but technical issue, and that is that when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, so we just darshan two halachas from the word Mimosho Sechem. One that has to come from Eretz Yisrael, and two is that you can bring it both from in and outside of... Let me say it correctly. It can only be brought from in Eretz Yisrael, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, Vahafikta, now the Gemara is bothered by that because, in general, one of the rules that we see time and again throughout the Shas is that you can only have one drasha per expression, per word in the Torah. So, ha'afikte, amakra taviyo ve'afilo menaliya. So the Gemara says, well, really what happened is that Mimosh Rosechem tells us that the word Mimosh Rosechem says that it has to come from Eretz Yisrael, and the word taviyo tells us that it doesn't have to be this year's grain, it could even be from a previous year. Okay, so basically, the solution is we just break up the drashas into two separate words of the pasuk. Now the Gemara says, "V'ahami ba'ile shikoshata mevi mimakom acher hareu kaze." So the Gemara says, "Now wait 1 second. We already use this pasuk to teach us a different halacha, a halacha that we saw back in the parak regarding the carbon toda. Notably, how much should each loaf be? We know by the shtei alechem, the Torah is very clear that the shtei alechem is made up of Shtei Esronim, this is in the Torah, and it's one Isaron per loaf. And what we learn together is that we're going to take that ratio of one Isaron per loaf, and we're going to transfer that over to the Karban Toda. So that by the Karban Toda, the 10 Chametz loaves are going to be one Isaron per loaf. Good. So the Gemara says, that is how we know how much flour to be used for the Toda. And we learn it out from the words taviu. So to which the Gemara says, "Imkein lechtov kra tavi, my taviu shmaminei tarte." So again, Gemara gives a very technical answer. You're right. We're darshaning both points: the amount of flour used for the shtei alechem and the lach metoda. And on top of that, we're also learning the halacha of afilu min aliyah. You even go up to the attic. It's generated from the word tavi and taviu. So we learn out both halachas from the. Extra suffix in the pasuk. Vaksiv Rashis. Now, when the Torah describes the Shtei Alechem, it says the first. So the mitzvah, so the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. Principally, it should come from the first of the grain, meaning this year's crop, not a previous year. But b'di'evit, it's okay if it's brought from a previous year. Haksiv Chadasha. Again, the Gemara is bothered because the Torah seems to be really instructive and really clear that it has to be new grain. So Haimi Baile L'chidetanya. The Gemara says, no. Even that, we need to teach us a separate halacha. Notably, Rabbi Nassim, Rabbi Akiva, Amru Shtei Alechem Abos Min Hayashin Ksheros. That if I have the Shtei Alechem that comes from the old grains, okay, it's acceptable. Umani Mekayim Chadasha Shtei Chadasha L'chol Menachos. Chadasha is just there to teach me that it has to be the first of the season, meaning no mincha can be offered from the new grains until the Shtei Alechem is brought. Where is the Shtei Alechem being brought from? So again, Lecha Tchila, this year's grain, but B'di'evit, it could even be brought from last year's grain. Okay. Adkan. That takes us to the end of round one of today's daf. So what do we have learned together is in our Mishnah. When it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, the restrictions of which season the grains come from and where the grains come from, according to our Mishnah, are in effect for the Omer and the Sheh Lechem. And that means to say that although for other menachos you could use grains from in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to the Omer and the Sheh Lechem, it can only come in from grains grown in Eretz Yisrael. And even there, lechatchila should be coming from the finest of places. And the Mishnah identified a number of places that have the choice grain. But it has to come from in Eretz Yisrael. And it also has to be from this year's crop. It cannot be from a previous year. The Gemara quoted a Braisa where the Braisa disagreed with our Mishnah. And the Braisa said that when it comes to the Omer and the Sheh Lechem, it doesn't have to come from this year's grain. It can even come from a previous year, but it does have to come from Eretz Yisrael. And now, I can lo pligi ala b'chadash, aval ba'aretz lo pligi. D'omer v'sheh lechem, me'aretz din mechutz aretz lo. So the Gemara just simply summarizes what I just said, meaning I could have just read the Gemara also, but now a summary of what we just learned together, that in the Braisa, still, even though the Braisa disagreed with our Mishnah in terms of when, or I should say which crop it comes from, but in terms of where, there's agreement. Now the Gemara points out, but not everyone agrees. Commander Loki Haitana Detanya. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa, and this Braisa certainly takes issue with the where. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer ba mechutz aretz. The Omer can come even from outside of Eretz Yisrael. You can import the grain for the carbon Omer, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Umani mekayim kisavol aretz shalon ischayvu ba Omer kodim shenichnus al aretz. Now, interesting, because the Torah says kisavou el haaretz. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you almost get the impression from the pasuk in the Torah that the grains are only eligible when they are in Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah is only enforced when we go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, "Shalom is chayvu ba'omer." I'm sorry, "Kisav ol aretz." Shalom is chayvu ba'omer. Kodim shenichnusu la'aretz. To which the Gemara's response is as follows: No, "Kisav ol aretz" is making a separate point. When are we first obligated to bring the carbon omer? That's only when we get to Eretz Yisrael. But once we get into Eretz Yisrael, where does the grain come from? It can come from anywhere. Now, interesting, the Gemara makes the following connection. Now, as far as the Yisur of Chadash is concerned, the author of this Braisa, which we know, by the way, is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, is of the opinion that the Yisur of Chadash both applies in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let's think about this. Meaning, when we talk about the Yisur of Chadash, we're talking about something which is linked to grain. So, in other words, it's an agricultural halacha. One could have easily made the argument that the Isser in the Torah of Chadash is only in but not outside of Eretz Yisrael, as it is agricultural halacha. What the Braisa over here is subscribing to is this idea that although it is connected to the grain, but it's not necessarily connected to Eretz Yisrael. The Isser of Chadash applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Torah says, Mimosho Sechem, and the way Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda understands the phrase in this context means wherever we're living. The Isser of Chadash applies. Fine. And now that the Isser of Chadash applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, when does it kick in? Kisavo el Haaretz. When we make entrance into Eretz Yisrael, some now 3,300 years ago, so that's when the Isser kicks in, but not before that. Meaning while we were out in the Midbar for 40 years, the Isser of Chadash simply has not kicked in. So kol makom sh'ata yoshim mashma v'chisavo zman biyahi. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. That the kisavo just simply means when is it in effect? And now the Gemara says, now let's connect the following dots. Because the Yisur of Chadash applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, and because when I bring the grain, it serves as a matir for the Yisur Chadash, so where is the grain coming from for the Omer and for the Sheh Lechem? It can come from wherever. It's not limited and restricted to Eretz Yisrael, since the Yisur of Chadash applies universally, both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the grain to be gotten for the Omer, which is the matir for Chadash, can also come from anywhere and everywhere, both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. If we follow the Gemara carefully, and we follow the logic of the Gemara carefully, it would seem to give us the following indication. If, let's say, like our Mishnah taught us, and like the first Braisa of this morning taught us, if, let's say, the Isser of Chadash can only come in from Eretz Yisrael, that would seem to indicate that the Isser of Chadash, according to our Mishnah and according to our Braisa, is limited only to Eretz Yisrael, but not outside of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that we do have opinions, and not just opinions, but a Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah that tells us that the Isser of Chadash is only limited to Eretz Yisrael, not to outside of Eretz Yisrael. And again, we're deducing that point based on the fact that the area where you get the grains to be matir of the Yisr Chadash can only come from Eretz Yisrael, not from outside of Eretz Yisrael. That's what it would seem to indicate. I'll just mention this, but I'm not going to elaborate right now. The difficulty lies in the fact that the halacha seems to be split on this issue. Meaning the Yisr of Chadash, right, this is from the Rambam. The Yisr of Chadash applies universally both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael, so says the Rambam. The Rambam also follows like our Mishnah that says that where is the grain to be gotten for the Omer and for the She'alechem? Only from Eretz Yisrael, not from outside of Eretz Yisrael. So, although the Gemara has just taught us that there seems to be a correlation between where the Yisr of Chadash applies and where is it eligible to get the grain in order to bring the Karban Omer, it sounds like a Gemara just linked the two issues. Certainly, as far as the Rambam is concerned and the way he adopts the Halacha, accepts the Halacha, he obviously does not link these two issues. So what does the Rambam do with our Gemara? Like I said, we'll mention it, but not going to elaborate on the point, but certainly that seems to be the connection that the Gemara just made. Tanan Hasam, we are going to learn together a Mishnah now in Shkalim. Quick refresher. Every seventh year in Eretz Yisrael, so that's what's called Shemitah. They were not allowed to work the land and cultivate and certainly not plant any seeds in the ground and grow any new grains during the Shemitah year. Okay, good. Where does it really present the problem? Aside from the fact that we have no food growing during 1 year out of every seven in Eretz Yisrael, but the Torah says don't worry about that. There's going to be a bumper crop every 6 year, so there's nothing to be concerned with. However, there is another concern, which is a legitimate concern, and that is, wait 1 second, we have to bring an Omer this year, which is a grain offering. We have to bring a She'alechem this year, which is another grain offering. Well, if we're not planting and we're not harvesting, so where are they coming from? What a good question. The answer is going to be, so wild wheat and wild barley. Even without planting, and even there's still going to be some residual seeds left in the ground from last season, they are organically, right? I don't mean that in the modern sense. They are organically going to grow into wheat and into barley. The term used to describe this is what's called sefichim. And so therefore now you have grains that grow on their own. They grow wild during the Shemitah year. It is those grains that we're going to use for the Omer and for the She'alechem. Mind you, fruit on the tree is a little bit easier because fruit on the tree are going to grow every season. So that for sure we're going to have. But even wheat and barley, we're going to have them grow wild over the Shemitah year. Now, a couple of things regarding anything that grows over the Shemitah year. So, and let's make this point clear because it comes up in our, it's going to come up in our Gemara. Things that grow wild during the Shemitah year are going to have Kedushas Shvi'is, they'll have sanctity. Now, with the sanctity, what does it mean? Well, it's not restricted in terms of who can eat it. Who can eat it? The answer is anybody and everybody. Kohanim, non-Kohanim alike. Remember, it's Hefker, belongs to everybody. Belongs to nobody. Right, both. In terms of time limit of eating it, there's what's called the Zman Bir, Shas Bir, where we can only eat it up to the point of beer and no longer beyond that point in time. Again, on another occasion, we'll discuss that better and I'll explain that better. But in other words, we are limited in terms of when we can eat it. And as far as when they're growing out in the field, so what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to guard that field because remember, it's Hefker. It belongs to nobody, it belongs to everybody. So therefore, no, you can't make a fence around the field and you can't put any kind of perimeter on the field to protect that field. However, we do need just a base amount of barley for the Omer, and we do need a base amount of wheat for the She'alechem. So what we're going to learn together is a Mishnah in Shkalim, which we learned some time ago in the Mishnah inside, in Shkalim inside, which is going to teach us that what we do is that we set up guards around the field to just make sure that we have enough barley for the Omer and we have enough wheat for the She'alechem. And in terms of how we're going to pay these guards, what are we going to use? We're going to use public money. We collect a machitzis a shekel annually for all the operating expenses of the Beis HaMikdash. A line item in the operating expense sheet of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be guards for the wheat and barley during the Shemitah year. So during the Shemitah year, there's another line item in terms of what we're using with this money.
You're allowed to harvest that grain on the
Shemitah
year.
Yeah, and not only allowed, it's a mitzvah, right. Meaning you need it for the Omer, you need it for the She'alechem. Correct. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah over there in Shkalim. Shomer Tzvichem B'Shvias Notlin Tzcharam Mitzumas Alishka. So the Mishnah over there is just making one singular point, and then that is how they're going to get paid. They're going to get paid from the Trumas Alishka. Again, that's the operating budget that we collected through the Machetzis HaShekel. Good. Now, a discussion, I'll just mention it because Tosfos does occupy a large part of today's daf with this discussion. You're generally speaking not allowed to fence up or guard or protect any property, any fields during the Shemitah year because everyone needs equal access to it. And so over here we're hiring guards to guard the field. Isn't that a violation of basically locking up fields and protecting fields from people trespassing and not taking? So Tosfos spends a lot of time discussing this issue. At the end of the Tosfos, he gives a number of answers why over here it would be okay. Right? The simplest and perhaps the most logical of answers is this is not for individual, it's not for private usage, it's for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Tosfos offers other answers as well. See Tosfos for more discussion on that point. Anyway, back to our Gemara. Rami le Rami Barchama le Rav Chista, so a discussion that takes place amongst the Amoraim. Specifically, Rami Barchama and Rav Chista. Tenan shar meisfichim b'shvias not lein tzcharim mitshumas alishka. Okay, so a quick recap. The Mishnah Shkalim taught us that we're going to pay the guards using Trumas Halishka money. Good. Uriminu. Now, the Gemara says, wait one second. So, you are telling me that we are going to be taking barley, wild barley that grows out in the field, then we're going to use that for the Karban Omer. You know what happens to the Karban Omer? Yeah, sure we do. We've seen it already a number of times. So, it's prepared in the base of Mikdash with the pounding and the sifting, et cetera, et cetera. But in other words, once we have the Omer prepared, the Kohen's going to take his hand, his fist, he's going to put in, he's going to take out a kometz, and what is he going to do with that kometz? Burn it on the top of the Mizbeach. He is burning Peirush Shvius on the top of the Mizbeach. That's not what we're supposed to do with Peirush Shvius. We have to eat it. Now, I know I can hear an argument that putting it on the Mizbeach is a form of consumption, but the Gemara is clearly not going to buy that argument. Meaning the Gemara doesn't say that, but clearly the Gemara is rejecting that argument. Eating in the context of Peirush Shvius means you and me consuming it, and that's it. And that's why the Gemara is bothered. I'm le'rachmana. I don't understand. How can we take even a fistful of this and burn it on the top of the Mizbeach? All of it has to be consumed. I remember some time ago when I was in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year, or actually the post-Shemitah year, so they do make wine from Shemitah produce, from Shemitah grapes, but with the warning that every bit of it has to be consumed. You can't dispose any of it. Okay. Anyway. So Am Lechala Dorosechem V'Atamarti Batel. So the counter argument is actually really simple. You know which year we have to offer the Omer and the She'alechem? The answer is very simple. Every year. Every year, L'Dorosechem for all generations. And what are you suggesting? Are you suggesting that we should just skip the Shemitah year for the Omer and the She'alechem? So, Amarle Omika Amina Anati Batel, Laisi Medish Taked. To which the counter argument is, no, I'm not suggesting skip a year. But you know what I am suggesting? Don't use this year's grain. Use grain from a previous year. And if you recall, the Brisa said that that's okay. But parenthetically, by the way, Tosfos wonders, well, as long as we're entertaining other positions other than our Mishnah, so why not? Why don't we just simply also entertain the idea of importing? Because according to the Brisa that we learned on the top of the page, you can use grains even from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now we know that the Shemitah regulations and restrictions are not do not apply to grains grown outside of Eretz Yisrael. So why isn't the Gemara even suggesting that at this juncture, at this point in time? Okay, that's Tosfos' question. But anyway, Be'ina Carmel Valeka. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why we can't do that. It's got to be Carmel, as we have discussed already numerous times. The grain has to be fresh. So the Gemara says, Valesi me Carmel di shtake. So the Gemara says, well, you know, it's a funny argument. The Gemara says, well, you know, if we bring last year's grain, it was fresh at one point in time. It was fresh last year. So I admit, it's a funny argument. It's a difficult argument. Anyway, the Gemara immediately rejects it. Amarkar Carmel Takriv Be'ina Carmel B'Shas Akrav Avaleka. No, the Torah says it has to be fresh when? Takriv. At the time when you're offering it. Right? Even though last year's grain was fresh at one point in time, it's not now. So in other words, clearly the instructions of the Torah are bring fresh grains annually, including the Shemitah year. Good. Itmar. The Gemara now is going to be deliberating, not the conclusion, but how we arrive at that conclusion. Meaning, we know that you have to be bringing this year's grains for the Omer. So taught us our Mishnah. The Brisa disagreed, but so taught us our Mishnah. And how do we know that? So we already offered an argument, notably, it has to be fresh. The Torah says Carmel. So Rav Yochanan Amar Carmel Takriv, and Rav Yochanan, in fact, agrees with exactly that point, that it has to be fresh. And for that reason, it has to be this year's grain, not last year's grain. Rav Elazar Amar Reishis Kitzircha Velosof Kitzircha. And Rav Elazar arrives at the same conclusion, but just through a different drasha. The Torah says Reishis Kitzircha has to be the first of your harvest. So in other words, annually, the grains that are used for the Amar and for the She'alechim are coming from the first harvest. Meaning this year's harvest, not previous year. Mosiv Rabba. Now, Rabba's bothered based on the following Braisa. The Braisa that we have seen earlier in the Masechta. Im Tekriv Minchas Bikurim. Once again, we turn to the second parak of Vayikra, where the Torah there is describing some Minchas Bikurim, your first offering. Which offering is that making reference to? The Torah does not say explicitly, but we have already identified a number of times it's talking about the Omer. It comes from barley. Now, there in Perek Beis, it does not say specifically barley. So how do we know barley? Well, maybe it comes from wheat. And by the way, wheat's a much stronger argument because all menachos come from wheat. Or I should say, almost all. Rabbi Lazar Omer Nerma Aviv B'Mitzrayim Nerma Aviv L'Doros Ma Aviv Amor B'Mitzrayim Sa'orim Af Aviv Amor L'Doros Eino Ba Ela Minas Sa'orim. So the first argument presented in the Gemara is Gzeirah Shavah. You know, we do have the word Aviv earlier in the Torah, specifically by the Makkah, specifically by Makkah's Barad, where the hail comes down and pummels the ground, and what's growing in Egypt at the time? Barley. The wheat crop hasn't yet grown. Barley. The Torah says that explicitly at the end of Parshas Va'era. Anyway, using the Gzeirah Shavah, Aviv over here is a reference to barley. That's one way we know that the Omer is coming from barley. Another way, the way we know this, through Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Matzino Yachid Shemevi Chovaso Min Achitin, or Mevi Chovaso Min HaSa'orim. Va'avtzibra Mevi Chovaso Min Achitin, or Mevi Chovaso Min HaSa'orim. Imata Omer Min Achitin, Lo Matzino Tzibra Shemevi Chovato Min HaSa'orim. So the first argument of Rabbi Kiva is that we need a parallel. Now we know when it comes to wheat, we know there's voluntary wheat offerings, wheat minchas, and we know that there are obligatory wheat minchas. When it comes to barley, we're going to have to say the same thing. There are both let me say that more accurately. There are individual wheat offerings and there are communal wheat offerings. Communal wheat offerings, for example, shtei alechem. Individual wheat offerings, that's pretty much every mincha offered by an individual. So too, when it comes to barley, there are individual barley offerings, and so therefore, there are four boxes. So there's got to be something that fits into the fourth box of a communal barley offering. So simply put, because there has to be a parallel, so therefore there's got to be a communal barley offering. That's how I know the Omer is barley. Okay. Davar achri imata Omer ba min achitin, ein shei alechem bikurim. And another point to consider is, let's for a moment imagine that the carbon Omer is brought from wheat. So then the She'alechem, which the Torah describes repeatedly as Bikurim, the first, well, it's not the first now, it's the second. So, in other words, you can't have it. It's got to be that the Omer is coming from barley, so that the She'alechem could in fact be the Bikurim, the first of the wheat. Okay, various arguments in terms of how we know that the Omer comes from barley. Three arguments provided in total in this Braisa. Well, the reason why the Gemara brought the Braisa is for that last point, which is that the Omer has to be coming from the first, right? Alma mishum bikurimhu tiyufta. And so the Gemara says, so you see over here that the focus in terms of the Omer is that it has to be the first, which the Gemara says goes against what we stated previously. What does that mean, goes against what we stated previously, meaning the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rebbe Lazar, in terms of why we know that the Omer has to be coming from this year's grain. According to Rebbe Yochanan, it has to do with the fact of Carmel, freshness. According to Rebbe Lazar, it has to do with the fact that it's the first of the harvest. So this Braisa over here, the conclusion of this Braisa, seems to favor the Rebbe Lazar viewpoint, and not favor the Rav Yochanan viewpoint. In any event, comes down now clearly is that the grains for the Omer is barley, as we have said so many times, here with the Bryce that just quoted, and just brought sources down in terms of how we arrive at that conclusion. But what we said is that in terms of which grains that we're going to be using, we're going to be using this year's grains. What do we do during the Shemitah year? The answer is same thing. We're going to be using this year's grains, meaning the grains that grow wild over the year. Hiring guards to guard them in order to make sure that no one takes them, and paying them using public money. The operating budget of this year is going to be used to pay the guards. And in terms of the Isser in the Torah, where I'm only supposed to be eating the grains and not burn them on the Mizbeach, the Gemara's response to that is, okay, that's true, but over here, that's what we're going to do with this year's grains. Tanan Hasam. The Gemara now quotes a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah Bikurim in Mevi'im Bikurim Chutz Mishivas Aminim. What fruits are eligible for the Bikurim, for the Mitzvah Bikurim? You know that the first fruits that grow in the course of the year, so we identify them, we mark them, and then what we're going to do is we're going to put them in the basket and go to Yerushalayim and bring them Yerushalayim, right? Hence, otherwise known as Bikurim. You take it, you put it on the Mizbeach, you take it off the Mizbeach, and you hand it to the Kohen, and the Kohen gets to eat it, like Truma. In other words, it'll be consumed by the Kohanim and the families of the Kohanim. Doesn't have to be eaten in the Azara. Good. So first of all, what is Bikurim coming from? Which produce is it coming from? The seven species. Wheat, barley, and five different fruit. I feel like we all know it. Okay, good. So, velo mitamarim shebaharim, velo miperos shebaamakim. Now, when you get fruit for the Bikurim, so where does it come from? Only from areas that produce good fruit. If it's areas that do not produce good fruit, they are not eligible to be brought for Bikurim. Dates that grow up in the mountains, please don't ask me, I don't know. I'm just repeating what I heard today from the Gemara. So they are inferior in nature. And the Rashi just simply describes them as being weak.
They say they're too sweet, actually. Excessive sweetness.
Okay, good. Okay. The Rashi of... Okay, whatever. Rashi of... In the valley. So, mitzvah shebaharim v'lo miperish shebaamakim. Fruit that it grows in the valley, no good. In any event, this Mishnah Bikurim is telling us that that these are not areas where they're eligible to be brought brought for the mitzvah of Bikurim. Good. Now, the Mishnah Bikurim just simply says that these areas are ineligible. Ineligible meaning out of the question, or ineligible just simply means not preferred. To which the Gemara now deliberates this issue. Amar Ula. Ime evilo kideh. So Ula takes it all the way to the extreme, to its logical conclusion. This Mishnah of Bikurim is saying that the only fruits that are brought as the mitzvah for the mitzvah of Bikurim are only coming from the Mishubach, only from the qualitatively better, is not just a preference, but it really means le'ikuva. If you took the dates from the mountains and try to earmark them as Bikurim, it does not have Kedusha. It does not have the status of Bikurim. Now, Yosef Rabba v'kamer lahashmaita esrei Rabbi Acha bar Abba l'Rabba. And on this point now, they deliberate the issue based on a brisa. The brisa over here will take us to the midpoint of this amud. Let's start. Karban reishis. It says the first of your offerings. So as Rashi points out over here on the very top of the amud, third line down, mashma nami ashti alechem afagav dichsi bibikurim. Okay, we're talking over here generically about the first. We're talking first in terms of Bikurim. We're talking first in terms of Shtei Alechem. We're talking over here principally of the first. It should be the first of all your menachos. Meaning the Shtei Alechem should be the first wheat offering that's offered from this year's crop. And not just wheat, but barley as well. Meaning, you could have made an argument that the barley offering, now by the way, when we say barley offering, outside of the Omer, how many other barley offerings are there? One other type. Specifically, the Sota. The barley offering of the Sota. But anyway, meanwhile, I might have thought that the barley offering can actually be brought of this year's crop can be brought before Shavuos, because consider, we brought the barley for the Omer, which was 50 days prior to Shavuos. But to that, the Brisa clearly rejects that idea. No. The fact that the Torah keeps repeating the word Chadashah by the Shtei Alechem is telling us that this is going to be the first in the Beis HaMikdash for everything. Wheat, barley. Good, wheat and barley. Not only that, but the Shtei Alechem also should precede all your Bikurim. Meaning one is not to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash until the Shtei Alechem is offered. Again, the Shtei Alechem is opening day for all produce that goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah over there, the Gemara quotes a pasuk that, again, describes it that it is Bikurei, it's the first. Ve'eli ela Bikurei Ketzir, Chitim, Ketzir Sa'orim Inayin. Good, but that's just wheat. What about barley? Tamalomer v'chag ha-Ketzir, Bikurei Ma'asecha Asher Tizra Basadeh. Anything that is planted in the field. Ve'eli ela Shetizra. Alo me'alayim Inayin. How about if they grow wild? Tamalomer Basadeh. Basadeh tells us even for the wild growth, you can't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash until after the Shtei Alechem. Ainli ala basadem, anayin l'rabba shebegag, shebechorva, shebeatzitz, shebesfina. Let's say it doesn't grow in the field proper. But let's say it grows on somebody's rooftop. Let's say it grows in the ruins of a house. Or let's say they grow in a pot. Let's say they grow on a boat. In other words, but all within Eretz Yisrael. So tam lomer bikurei asher akol asher ba'artsam. So the kol asher ba'atzam is an inclusionary term, and it means anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael, even if it doesn't grow from the land proper. Still, minayin shetei kodemus nesachim uper sa'ilan. How do I know that the Shtei Alechem should be coming to the Beis HaMikdash even before the libations of wine, oil, and wheat and all the fruit of the tree? Namer kan bikurei ma'asechem, namer lahan ba'aspechas ma'asechem in asada. Just like over there, we're talking about Nesachim and the fruit of the tree, so too over here as well. Okay, so in so many different ways, the Brice over here clearly stating that the Shtei Alechem that's brought on Shavuos is the first. And nothing, no new grains, no new growth, no new fruit can be brought to the Beis HaMikdash prior to the Shtei Alechem. Ketani Mia. Now, as a point of interest, the only reason why we quote the Brice right now is because the Brice incidentally mentioned, what if it grows on the rooftop? You can easily imagine that whatever is growing on the rooftop is not the best. So, grows on the rooftop, grows in the ruins, grows in the pot, grows on a boat. This is not referring to the best grains. And meanwhile, it sounds like over here that these can be used and they have eligibility to be used for the Shtei Alechem and for Bikurim. And meanwhile, on the top of the Amud, Ula said that if I'm bringing any growth for Bikurim that is inferior in nature, not only does the Mishnah Bikurim say you shouldn't do it, what Ula's saying is it doesn't even have Kedusha. This Brisa would seem to indicate otherwise, because this Brisa includes even that which grows on the roof and on the boat and certainly things that do not seem to be of the best quality. Seif Asan Lemenachos. So the Gemara suggests, maybe the Brice over here was talking about grain specifically for menachos in general. Not for the Shtei Alechem, but for all menachos in general. So maskal v'ravad ba'ava yachi haynu d'chsiv kol tar b'vesecha yochal oso v'menachos l'zichri kunohu d'mit achlan. To which the Gemara says, wait 1 second, I'm really not following. You know that when it comes to this mincha, well, the pasuk in Korach says kol tar b'vesecha yochal, you know, you can take it home and you can share it with your family as long as everyone in your family is tahor. Meaning, we're speaking to the Kohanim, not to the rest of us. But still, if we're talking about mincha, do you know who's eligible to eat mincha? Not every Kohen, only Zichri Kohanim, only the male Kohanim. So if you tell me that we're talking about menachos in general, so then what do you do with the pasuk in Korach? So I'm a Rav Misharsha Trey Kreiksiv, Alecha Yehu Ksiv Kol Tahor B'Veisecha Yochal. So Rav Misharsha says, the pasuk actually has two formulations. One, that is lecha yihyeh, it's to you, meaning to the male Kohanim. And then another pasuk says, kol tahor b'veisecha. Now you can take it home and enjoy it with your family. So yochal aso haketzah kam be bikurim kam be menachos. The difference, the discrepancy is going to be between bikurim and menachos. When it comes to a mincha, mincha can only be eaten by zechre kohuna. That is l'chayiyah. As far as bikurim is concerned, so it's put in a basket, it's brought into the base of mikdash, it's put on the mizbeach, but then handed over to the kohanim. And the kohanim are going to enjoy it with their family. So that will be kol tara b'veisecha. So the Gemara says that it's not a kasha. Rav Ashi amar kulu b'menachos. Rav Ashi says, look, I'll give another answer, and we don't have to make even a split between mincha and bikurim. It could be that all of it's talking about mincha. Aye, most menachos are enjoyed only by zichrei kohuna. That part's true. There is, however, some menachos that can be taken home and enjoyed with the whole family. Now, if I'm going to be put on the spot, if I put myself on the spot, what mincha could be taken home and enjoyed by the whole family? I'm not sure if I would have gotten the answer. But after knowing the Gemara, the answer is obvious. But of course, that's like everything in life. Only obvious after you know it. V'seifa, the kra'as on the lach metoda. Ah, right. 40 loaves of the carbon toda. 40 loaves of the carbon toda. What happens? 4 of those loaves are taken off and given to the kohen as truma. But in other words, it's shlamim. It's not kache kadashim. And therefore, the lach metoda, the 4 loaves given to the kohanim, can be eaten by the kohen and his family, just like truma. Kohen could take it home and eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim, but don't have to be eating in the zara, and don't have to be eating it together with zichrei kohuna. And it's not limited to zichrei kohuna. Anyway, where do we start with this? At the top of this, I'm with the statement by Ula that if I bring fruit from inferior locations in Eretz Yisrael, so they are not to be brought for bikurim, and they're not even going to be invested with kedusha if they're brought. That was Ula's statement. Biplukta, the Gemara points out that this is subject to a machlokas amaraim. I mean, Ula's an amara as well, but other amaraim argue this issue. Rav Yochanan amaray mehevi lo kidesh, Rav Shakish amaray im hevi kidesh. Nase kekachash bikachim. So Rav Yochanan and Rav Shakish debate this very issue in terms of whether or not bikurim fruit are brought from inferior places, and it's inferior quality. It's not the grade A. It's not even grade B. So you shouldn't do it, that everyone agrees to, but will it be invested with the kedusha bikurim if it in fact is brought? So here in Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish debate, Rav Yochanan follows Ula's position, does not have any kedusha whatsoever, and Reish Lakish says, no, it does have kedusha of Bikurim. Now, Reish Lakish gives what seems to be a really good argument, because consider, says Reish Lakish, isn't it just like when you bring an animal as a karban? Now, of course, what you should be doing is bringing the best animal, the choicest animal. But let's say your animal happens to be weak in nature. Is the animal disqualified? The answer, of course, is no. So Reish Lakish says, well, we use that as our model, same thing with the fruit. Yes, we should be bringing the best fruit in for Bikurim. But if I bring inferior fruit in, you're going to tell me that doesn't have Kedusha? The animal as a carbon has Kedusha. Now, Bishlam and Reish Lakish Kedama Taima. Good. So Reish Lakish gives an argument, and seemingly a very good argument. El Rav Yochanan Mai Taima. But what is the basis for Rav Yochanan? Amar Rav Lazar Rav Yochanan Chazai B'chalom Milsa Malayasa Amina. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, look, last night when I went to bed, I had a dream, and in my dream I saw Rabbi Yochanan. And I know now it's going to be a good simon, that I'm going to say something intelligent today in the Beis Medrash. Okay. I know a lot of time could be dedicated to that line of the Gemara. But anyway, Amar Kra, me reishis velo kol reishis. Me artzecha velo kol artzecha. When the Torah describes Bikurim, the Torah says, me reishis. Which is always understood as you're not bringing from all fruit, only from some fruit. And when we say some, obviously, which ones are going to be brought to Bikurim? The choicest, the best. Which is now, that drush is teaching us that if you in fact have inferior fruit, it's not even eligible for Bikurim. It won't get the Kedusha of Bikurim. Reish Lakish, hai artachamay avilei, mi baile lechidetanya. Now, as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, he agrees that there's a drusha there, but for a different conclusion. Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi Omer Nemar Khan Eretz Venemar Lahalan Eretz Ma Lahalan Shevach Eretz Afkan Shevach Eretz. So as far as Reish Lakish is concerned, so the drasha is teaching us that it is Shevach Eretz. What exactly is meant by Shevach Eretz? Meaning the fruit that are used to give the superlatives and accolades to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, you know what Eretz Yisrael is known for? Pomegranates, dates, meaning it's the drasha is just telling us which fruits to be used for Bikurim. But then after that, within that fruit itself, should I be using the Meshubach? Can I use even the inferior? According to Reish Lakish, you could use them all. Again, even Reish Lakish will agree you should go to the Meshubach, but the pasuk over there is just telling us that we are, which fruit are to be used. V'idach eretz me eretz, v'idach eretz me eretz lo mashmalei. And then the back and forth is, Rav Yochanan agrees, but he learns that from the word eretz, and the me eretz. And Reish Lakish just simply says, no, eretz me eretz, we don't have two drushas, it's only therefore one drusha. Okay, we stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up five lines from the bottom. So again, from the beginning of the perek, we began this morning a machlokus amongst our Mishnah and the first Brisa and the second Brisa. In terms of menachos in general, wheat can be brought in from this year's grain, last year's grain, 5 years ago, in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Our Mishnah says that for the Amun and the She'alechem, you are limited both in terms of this year's grain, not last year's, and only in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Brisa brings in other positions on this matter. We had two Brises. We saw two other opinions on the matter. We talked about what do we do during the Shemitah year when we know that all Shemitah produce that grows that year has to be consumed. How are we going to bring the Omer that year? The Gemara is solved for that problem. And then the rest of today's daf, we talked about the mitzvah of Bikurim. And the reason why we spoke about it is because the Shtei Alechem is going to be the opening for all Bikurim to be offered to the Beis HaMikdash. What if I bring Bikurim from less than the best quality? And so a debate amongst the Amoraim in terms of whether or not it's going to have the Kedusha of Bikurim. Ula said no, Rav Yochanan said no, Reish Lakish said yes, and that is today's daf.